sharing with you a series that I've entitled Attaining Your Potential. And some of the things that I, my desire is, along with this series, is these two things in particular: you becoming complete in Christ, which Colossians chapter 1 speaks about that. I'm not going to go into the references of that. I've done that before and will probably do it again. But Colossians 1 gives regard to us becoming complete in Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, this is my passion. This is why I labor, so that you can stand before Christ complete. And how many of you would say that, yeah, I'm already complete in Christ. I've made it already. I've got everything in order that I... So if that's the case, that not anyone is complete yet, this is a good place to be today, because it's an opportunity to grow in that, to make one step closer to that completeness in Christ Jesus. And as we go through Ephesians, I tell you what, people, it just gets better and better and better. So, and I want you to hang on to your seats as we go, because there is so much good stuff in here regarding us, what the Lord has made us to be, to enable us to be complete in Him. But then also this, in Ephesians 2, it talks about being a dwelling of God in the Spirit. I have alluded to this some in my prayers already this morning, that where God is present, that is the distinguishing factor. Moses described that when the children of Israel were getting rebellious against God, and God says to Moses, you go ahead, take the people up to that promised land, but I'm not going with you, because if I do, I'll probably wipe them all out. Because he was disturbed about their rebellion. He was disturbed about their continual complaining and moaning about the circumstances that they were dealing with in the wilderness. And God said, Moses, go ahead, take them to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. And Moses immediately pleaded with God. He said, God, if you don't go with us, don't send us, because your presence is what distinguishes us from all the other nations of the world. And so it is today, that the presence of God is what distinguishes a gathering of people from any other group of people that, you know, gather for a single purpose in mind, or gather for, you know, some desired goal or whatever. It's the presence of God that is the distinguishing factor. And the Lord has spoken about His church being a place where He would be present, or a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So we continue to press for that, so that God is dwelling here and very, very welcome here. Okay, so I've entitled this message, Lit Up with Revelation. And, you know, lit up has a couple of connotations. One of it is illumination. You know, you light up a light bulb, it is lit up, it is illuminated. But there is a slang lit up, too, that refers to being under the influence, be it alcohol or be it narcotics or something like that. You can get lit up. All right, and my message is not far from that either, but I just want you to understand that the lit up we're talking about, or the influence that we are under, is under the Spirit of God. Remember Ephesians chapter 5, we went there a few weeks ago, and we'll get there again, but where it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there is a way to be lit up in an appropriate manner, that is by the Spirit of God. But when we're talking about lit up today, we are talking more about the illumination that we receive through the Lord. And so turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 23. And we will see that Paul has a significant prayer here for the Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people, who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the eternal realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Okay, there's a whole lot in there. We're going to kind of break it down. First of all, he speaks of himself being blessed with their witness of how strong their faith is in Jesus and their love for God's people. But I want you to remember something, that in the book of Revelation, when the letters of Jesus was the author of these seven letters of Revelation. One of them was to the church at Ephesus. And in Revelation 2:4, he said this, "I have this complaint against you." I mean, he commended them for many things. I don't want to just negate that. But he says, "I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." Here's Paul speaking to the Ephesian church in like their beginnings, you know, in the church being established, the church being founded, and he says, you know, I've heard this great testimony about your faith in Jesus and your love for all the other believers. And now in this book of Revelation, the Lord is actually disappointed or complaining against them because they don't love him or each other as they did at first. You've lost your first love. We need to just guard against that, because, you know, we can have a passion for the Lord. We can have a love for the Lord, but that, you know, things enter into our lives and we end up dealing with the daily stuff, and pretty soon we're just kind of setting the Lord and our love for the Lord or our faith in him, or even our expression of faith, maybe putting our faith in action by not expressing that with other people, you know, not loving other people as we did when we first, you know, had this passion for the Lord. So I just want to raise that point, comparing what Paul said in Ephesians with what Jesus said in Revelation, that something had been lost there. And we just need to guard against that loss. But Paul said he was in constant prayer for revelation in these different areas you'll see in your outline. For their revelation of God, for their revelation of a confident hope of their calling, and for a revelation of God's power. Those are the things that we're going to look at here this morning from this scriptural passage. So first of all, their revelation of God. He spoke of spiritual wisdom and insight, that you might grow in your knowledge of God. When we're talking about growing in our knowledge of God, it's seeing the various facets of God. God in his character and God in his nature. What is God like? We're encouraged to grow in our knowledge of God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll get there as we're going through the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that to be imitators of God in everything you do. How can you imitate someone you don't know? We can't be imitators of God if we don't even know him. And so this encouragement is for us to receive a revelation of God, who God is, what God is like. To be able to be like him, we have to understand who he is. And there are a variety of ways for us to receive this kind of revelation. One of them is through the person of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Or the New American Standard Bible translation says that Jesus is the exact representation of his nature. If it's for me, just tell him I'm busy. So, but Jesus is the exact representation of the nature of God. And so one of the best things we can do to see what God is like is go to the Gospels. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus responds in all situations. And we'll know what God is like by that. You know, this is one of the reasons why, a significant reason why I believe that it is God's will to heal. Now, I know that there are, you know, there is realities of people that were not healed, people that died, people that were prayed for were not healed and died, or, you know, have continued on in their affliction, that kind of thing. And I understand that. I realize that. But if we allow our experiences to determine our theology, then there are ways that we can miss the will of God. The reason why I have that foundation of God's will to heal is because if you look at creation, how God created everything, and when he stood back, he looked at it, it says it's good. And then with man and woman, he created them, it says it's very good. And there was no sickness, there was no death, in God's creation. That, well, okay, I'm just going to leave that. So in the beginning, the way God created things, there wasn't any sickness and there wasn't any death. It wasn't like God says, well, you know, I need to put a little bit of that in there so that people will, you know, tough through things and learn some lessons as a result of the afflictions that they deal with. You know, it wasn't like that. And you look at the end, you look at the book of Revelation, and you see the consummation of all things, you see the redemption of all things, and it describes heaven as being a place where there is no sickness, there is no death, there is no more crying, there is no more weeping. Okay, so what happened here in the middle between the beginning and the end, where we see God's will in the beginning and we see God's will in the end? And I believe that through the person of Jesus Christ, we can also see the will of God in the middle of this, when people are dealing with afflictions, sickness, disease, and death. Jesus addresses those things, and he never comes at it. I mean, if you read through the Gospels, you never see Jesus turn someone away when they come to him in faith, and he turns them away because it's not God's will to heal you. He never responds that way. And so, you know, I know that we grapple with some of the issues, and sometimes healing is, you know, it's a process. Many times we would love to have just the miraculous boom, and we're completely healed and restored to perfect health. Many times this is a process that we go through, and you know, I'm not going to just, you know, teach on that today, but what I want to say is, in the beginning we see the will of God, in the end we see the will of God, in the middle we see the will of God through the person of Jesus Christ. It's sin that has entered into this world and death through sin that has messed things up. Let's not blame it on God. And so, and if there is a lack of manifestation of that healing, again, let's not blame it on God. And let's not blame it on the person who experienced that either. So too many times we go, well, they just didn't have enough faith, and so that was their problem. They couldn't receive from God or that kind of thing. And we don't know. We have no clue. But the thing that we do know is what God's will is. And so let's continue to pray for and encourage people towards that direction of the will of God. Okay? Enough about that, but I'm just trying to give you, you know, reasons why we can be established in our knowledge of God and what God's will is. He expresses it through the person of Jesus Christ. Here's a tremendous passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 from the Amplified Translation. It says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more intimately acquainted with the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly." There is this progressive, there is this intimacy that we can develop with the person of Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of God, so that we can know him more and more. And then this knowledge of God, this knowing God, ends up becoming a solid foundation for the storms that we go through. I have unfortunately seen people who have walked away from the faith because they didn't get the answer that they wanted, or they felt like, you know, God's holding out on me, God doesn't like, God's punishing me, you know, those kinds of things. And without a true knowledge of God, you know, these things can end up being, you know, a stumbling block for our faith. You know, so bottom line is, people, bottom line, if you want a bottom line, God loves you. No matter what happens to you in your life, don't let go of that. God loves you, people. So even if the most horrendous kind of circumstances happen to you in your life, it's not because God does not love you or that God does not care. There's evil in this world. There are people who make poor judgments, make mistakes. There are people who are perpetrators. There are, you know, people that create accidents. It's not because God does not love those people who are victims to that. Okay, so just again, keep the bottom line, knowledge of God. God loves you. Okay, but there's a whole lot more for us to receive revelation on. Part of that is revelation of confident hope. Here in this passage of Scripture, it speaks about hearts flooded with light so that you may understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. Now, when we talk about flooded with light, I want you to get this picture, because the word there, the phrase flooded with light, comes from the Greek word photizo. Photizo. What's that? Photo. Okay, it gives us a clue as to what this is describing. It's the entrance of light. Again, there's the illumination. There's being lit up as a result of the illumination. This is right out of the dictionary. It means to shine, or transitively to brighten up, literally or figuratively, enlighten, illuminate, bring to or give light, and make to see. The picture there, obviously the graphic that I've used of the camera, is to get us to develop a picture in our mind, pun intended maybe, to understand that there is the entrance of light that creates an image. And what we need is that image. We need the entrance of light to create an image on the inside of us. Now, this image that this is talking about is going to describe the calling of God upon our life, okay? But the way that this image comes about, New American Standard says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We could state it this way. We could say the lens of your heart would be wide open, that your heart would be exposed to the glorious flooding light of the image of Father's calling on your life. That the lens of your heart would be wide open. Remember that A.W. Tozer spoke these words. He said that, you know, we have within us organs to perceive the spiritual realm as much as we have physical organs to perceive the natural realm. Okay, we physically see the natural realm with our eyes, but our hearts have eyes as well to receive revelation, to receive knowledge, to receive insight, to receive a image, a photo, an image of not only the Lord in our life, but also His calling upon our life. And this is why the scripture speaks about this. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. How can you gaze at something you cannot see? It's talking about those things that are of the spiritual dimension, the eyes of our heart, gazing with the eyes of our heart to be able to perceive things, to be able to receive revelation, to be able to receive an image on the inside of us. And this image really that is talking about, I give A.W. Tozer's thing. You know, there's another verse that I wanted to give you here too. I didn't put this one in your notes, but I added it this morning as I was going over this. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I like that verse because I know I'm simple. You know, and it doesn't matter whether I'm simple or highly educated or whatever. Even the simple can understand, can receive revelation, can receive light, a photo image, as a result of the unfolding of the Word of God. So again, you know, right now I'm unfolding the Word of God to you. So you're in a good place this morning. You're pressing towards that becoming more complete in Christ Jesus. You're pressing towards that being a place where God can inhabit, a dwelling of God in the Spirit, and coming to completion as a result, because the Word is being unfolded to you. It's going to give you light. You're going to receive an image. You're going to be, and this camera, you know, I've carried this camera all week, not literally, but in my heart, I've carried this camera all week, and I'm taking pictures. I'll explain a little bit more, you know, just in a little bit. But I'm receiving images. Well, let me put this graphic up and so you'll understand. You know, with a camera, except for the digital ones that we all use today, but the digital ones still have to receive a light image in order to have that digital imprint or that digital coding to store in the file to make that picture come back out again. But the old, whatever, 35 millimeter, you know, chemical... whatever happens on the film negative, there is an image that is created there, but that's only part of it. There's two parts to that. One is the capturing of the image, but the other is the development of that image to be able to present the photo. You know, if you just hand someone a bunch of negatives, it's like, yeah, okay, you know, hold it up to the light and you can kind of see what's there. But there needs to be the development of that negative in order for that image to come forth and for everyone to enjoy that image. And so it is with us. It's like we receive the, when I say negative image, I'm not talking about negative versus, you know, positive image. But when we receive the image on the inside of us, there's the other part of that being developed and then displayed for that image to be made real. You know, and this is where the darkness, you know, we could say darkness is turned to light. Where we receive that photo, we receive that image, what happens is the shutter has to open up to receive the light in order to make that image. And so we could say any darkness that is in our heart, there's light that is being exposed to that darkness so that we can receive an image. And that image that the scripture is referring here to us right now is talking about the hope of our calling. The calling that God has upon our life. There is an image that we are to receive in our hearts about that. And that image is to then be developed. And let me say this too. You understand what time-lapse photography is? You know, it's just flash, or shutter open, over a process of time. And that's how, you know, when you're watching a TV program or something, you see a flower bloom, it goes like, how does it do that so fast? Well, it doesn't. It's just that there's been little images taken all the way along, and they play those images all together. So you can see all four seasons of the year, snowfall, you know, spring plant growth, you know, summer dry, fall leaves falling. You know, you can see all that in a matter of minutes through time-lapse photography, pictures taken just over a period of time. And so it is with us. We are receiving, like, time-lapse photography images of who God is, what his character and nature is. This is all a part of knowing God as well, is that we receive images of God through the unfolding of his word, through what we read about Jesus and Jesus being the exact representation of God, through seeing God work in your life. You're receiving images of God that add to that picture that you have. You could have received an image here this morning. As AJ and Connie were sharing about faith in action, you might have received an image on the inside of you. You know, there's a way that I can serve. There's something that I can do. There's a way that I could give up my time and volunteer, you know, whatever. You may have received an image this morning. And that image, now just sitting there on the inside of you, it's like the negative. It's not going to do any good until that image develops and is expressed. Then someone else can see and enjoy the photo. You understand what I'm saying? There's an image to be developed, an image to not only receive, but to be developed and then express. This verse 18 of Ephesians 1 from the Message paraphrase says it this way, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Okay, so you can see exactly what his calling is for you to do. I remember that, you know, and when it's talking about callings, it's not all as dramatic as what I'm going to share with you now. But I knew like 2.5 years in advance of me beginning to pastor that God had called me to pastor. I saw that image on the inside of me. But I knew that there was the development of that. If I had gone, okay, God's called me to pastor, boom, I go start pastoring, I would have, you know, failed terribly because I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't developed for it. I didn't have the understanding or the revelation to be able to do that. But so it's like you receive the image in advance. The image needs to be developed, and then the image can come forth. But God wants us to know what his calling is for us so we can have that confident hope. Okay, now on to revelation of God's power. Like I said, just keeps getting better and better. It says, understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. It describes that power. It says it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I need to get Charlie back up here again to talk about Jesus exploding out of the grave. You know, the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead, that's pretty powerful. I would say that's pretty powerful. And it's that same power, the scripture is saying that same power is toward us who believe him. The same power that raised Christ to the position of utmost authority, that seated him above all rulers and principalities and powers, that same power is toward us. The incredible greatness, I want you to receive that revelation of the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Ephesians 3:20. This is a preview, okay, as we're going through Ephesians. I just can't wait to get there, but so I'm sharing little previews here. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty, what? Power. Say it again really loud.
Power.
Through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So that's again, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is to work in us. That power is to work in us so that God will be able to do things that we wouldn't even be able to think of doing. Glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. It's not just God do your thing, but God's choosing to use us to do his thing. That is the calling of God. That is your confident hope. That's where you need to get the image impressed on the inside of you so that nothing can take that image away. You have a confidence as a result of the image that you've received on the inside of you of this is what God has for me to do. He's called me to do something powerful by the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling in me. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I think it's the King James translation that says to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is right toward him. To show himself strong or to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God desires to show that strength. Well, where do we need strength? We need strength, first of all, for the completion of what he's calling you to do. If he's called you to do something supernatural beyond what you can ask or think, well, you need his strength for that. You need his power to do that. And the scripture in Ephesians 3:19 says that we are made complete with all the fullness and life and power that comes from God. Again, we're talking about stepping farther towards completeness, being complete in Christ Jesus. Okay, also, we need that strength for this word of the Lord that we received prophetically on January chapter 4. January chapter 4, verse 10-13. Excuse me, what happened? Okay, January 4th. There's no chapters in it. January day 4 says, let my strength infuse you. Let my strength strengthen you to do the works I am calling you to do. See, God is calling us to do some things. We need to understand that not only does he give us the image on the inside of us to know what that calling is, but he also gives us the power to be able to bring that image into completion. Okay, we need strength for, we'll find this out as we continue in Ephesians, for standing strong against the strategies of the devil. If you want to read on to Ephesians chapter 6, you'll see that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So this is how we're going to stand firm with the strength of the Lord. For employing divinely powerful weapons for destroying strongholds, be those spiritual strongholds in our life or emotional strongholds, physical strongholds, the strength of the Lord enables us to employ these divinely powerful weapons. For firm faith in circumstantial storms. Again, storms is part of life. Jesus did not say, if the storm comes, he said, when the storm comes, you can stand strong. And part of our standing strong is the strength of the Lord, having a firm faith in that. Okay, Jesus, it concludes this passage of Scripture speaking about Jesus being far above any ruler or authority. It says that he was made head of the church, and the reason why is for the benefit of the church. We want the Lord Jesus to be leading his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It says that the church is made full and complete by Christ, and it describes the church as his body. Or in other words, the church is the authoritative extension of Jesus with full power to act on his behalf in this age. That's you and I, people. That's the church. That is believers in Christ Jesus. That's not exclusively this church. We are a part of his complete body of believers all over the world, but we are called to be the authoritative extension of Jesus as his body to complete his work, to work with full power to act on his behalf in this age. Here's a couple of phrases that I love to use. One of them is we will be expressing his image, or again that Greek word photizo. We will receive the light and the illumination. It will develop that image on the inside of us, and then it can be expressed as an expression of the image of the Lord. And then I love this phrase, I use it a lot, where the scripture speaks of us as being ambassadors for the kingdom of God. That's what he's called us to do. That's what he's called us to be. So what an awesome thing that calling of God. We need a revelation of that calling and a revelation of the power of God enabling us to fulfill that calling. Okay, well, this morning we don't have because we have fellowship meal, we don't have the snacks at the tables this morning, so we're really not going to go into an interaction time, and that's why I've titled this reflection time. You get to take these things with you, some things to consider as a result of this message. What does it mean to have a spirit of wisdom and insight? And how should an understanding of the position of the resurrected Christ affect a believer's everyday life? And what does it mean that Jesus has been raised above all principalities and powers? And not only that, when you see the scripture that we are seated with him in the heavenly places, what does that mean for a believer? Okay, what is the role of the church today? And how can it fulfill its role? And then here's your assignment next week, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We'll see. Like I said, it just keeps getting better, people. So don't miss if you don't have to. There's good stuff to step you towards that completion in Christ Jesus and us being a place where God dwells freely. Let's pray. Lord, again, I pray that the